In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, Lord, in your holy presence, at this appointed time and place, gathered together with expectation, Lord, for what you are going to teach us today. It's your precious blood that always works, Lord, and it is that blood that we sprinkle upon this entire portico cabin, Lord. Every one of us gathered here, and perhaps those who may be on the way, Lord. For there is power in this blood, Lord.
Amen.
Let anything that is not of thy kingdom be moved out from this place, Jesus. And surround us with your guardian angels, Lord, that we may be able to hear your voice. And come, sweet Holy Spirit, this is your class, this is your time. We are just mere instruments, Lord, waiting to hear from you, Lord. Prepare our hearts, O God, so that whatever you teach us today, Lord, will sink deep into our hearts, Lord, and will grow 100-fold, Lord.
Yes.
Take complete control of our minds, Lord, and help us to ponder on whatever you are going to teach us today, Lord, and not only hear it, but to be doers of the word as well, O God. Thank you, Mama Mary, for always being with us. Guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
From the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters.
Next week we won't celebrate.
It's not next week, no? It's the week after next. Today is the 98th session of us. Yeah, we have got two more sessions.
Century cake.
Oh, is that me, huh? How are you? Nice, welcome. When do you come?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and you'll be here for some time?
For 1 week.
Oh, very good. She was my catechism class student.
Nice.
So I know her, I know my children very well. Nice to see you. The reason for this laptop is not that I want to start teaching on this laptop, but today, after some time, we will be going into the history of the churches. Okay, so history is always more interesting when we see what it is like. Okay, and that is why it is here. Nothing special. Now, last week, we remember that we are still on that list of titles of the risen Lord. Yeah, last week we did. His face was as the sun rising. Sun shining in his strength. Yes, we did that. Then we also, the next title was, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. So the awness of Jesus is there. And John was so awed by his presence that he just fell at his feet today. That time. Do you think if Jesus comes here today, what will happen? Reaction? Just imagine, like, if Jesus just walks in there, what happens? We won't even be saved.
Firstly, no one will believe. Because today's world is
full of people. No, but suppose Jesus walks in here and makes sure. He gives us all the enlightenment that he is Jesus. First of all, is it possible or not?
Yes.
Yeah? The end of the world will come in the blink of an eye.
Amen.
Right? And he will just be there. And then, we will not even know what is happening. Like, you know, we will have to be down.
Yes,
Zoom.
Just
you know, you will have to be down.
Jesus.
I just thought Jesus entered.
Minus
the beard. Brother, we said it because we were talking about Jesus entering inside. So he said anything can happen. So no, that is the awness of Jesus. We take him so much for granted, no? Like, you know, Jesus, this is Jesus our Savior, this and that. And we take him so much for granted. But if we actually understand who real Jesus is, if he walks in, what will be us? We will tremble, we'll just be flat. You know, he's such an awesome and powerful God. And that's why today we begin with another of his quality or his title. He says, stop being afraid. That is our Jesus. However beautiful and strong and powerful and omnipotent and awesome he is, he will tell us, he knows where we stand. He knows where we stand. It's like, you know, among us, what we normally do is, when we are on a higher post or where we are something elevated, we show our power, right? We try to show off, like, you know, the majority of us do that. Like, you know, like, this thing. But this Jesus of ours is where cannot be comprehended, cannot understand. Okay, and he is the one who takes so much care of us. He tells John when he fell flat, don't be afraid, get up. When he was on earth, did he say that? Well, which are the occasions when he said that? Do not be afraid.
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration, very good. Another thing?
Peter was walking on the
water. When he was walking on the water, right? They were not afraid. They thought he was a ghost. And he said, don't be afraid. Yeah, so here I am. And tomorrow when we all go to heaven, do you think it's just going to be a small thing? It will be so this thing to see God the Father there, you know?
Yes.
We'll be able to see that. And Jesus will tell us that then also, don't be afraid. Step by step, I will show you the Father.
Yes.
You know, that is the power of Jesus. That is why we have to understand it. And look at his reality even today. Yeah, look at his reality. If we understood what he is, you know, if we understand what he is, what he can do for us, our lives will be different. There would be no panic. So he is a God of not of panic. He's a God of strength.
Amen.
And the more we understand the facts, that is why we have to go so deep into these revelation things. Because the more we understand the fact, we should use it in our lives. Yeah. And the more we use it in our lives, then we know what that God is true and God is real and God is works. Then the next title of his is, I am the first. Now, for example, as we already mentioned here, he walks around the water. That is Matthew 14:27, for those who are making their notes down. And Mark 6:50 gives us the walking of the water experiences. And the transfiguration experience is on Matthew 17:7. Okay. And Jesus always says, I am here, do not be afraid. Now we come to Is it today? No, this is the one which we did before. Stop being afraid. And now we come to, I am the first and the last. I put the things down here so it is easy for you to write. This was the self-description of God the Father himself. He said, when even Moses asked, who are you? He said, I am the first and the last. I am who I am. You know? So different versions of God the Father. And now, those are available in Isaiah 44:6 and Isaiah 48:12. Okay? Now Jesus uses the same, because Jesus is God. He uses the same word, same description for himself. Okay? And that is why he is the first and the last. He is assuring us. While we were born, he is there. When we die, he is there. Without Jesus, there is nothing. And he is the first and last. That's so befitting and to know that. So that we are in safe hands. Okay? That we are in safe hands. And then we come to, I am the living one, although I was dead, and I am alive forever and forever. Yeah? I am the living one. He is the living one. He was dead. We know that he died. And we know that he rose from the dead. That is what, if he had not risen from the dead, there would be no Christianity. Right? The only thing that he rose from the dead, and the Muslims are not believing that. Right? That is why they are not accepting this. They said that he didn't die. And there was no question of resurrection if he didn't die. But we know for sure, and that's what God gave us this. The moment we know that our Jesus died for us, for the sins of us. They don't know even the meaning of that. Like, what is the reason for dying? Yeah, they argue on the question that how can a son of God, how can God, first of all, they don't say that, they don't believe that he's the son of God. Secondly, they say, how can God kill his own son? So they really don't know the background of the whole thing. And that is why we are a special people. You understand? There is no Holy Spirit in any other religion. Only we. They believe in this, what is that, Atma, Mithma, all that stuff, but not in the Holy Spirit. We are the only privileged children of God who believe in the Holy Spirit, who believe in Jesus, and who we have experienced the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? When we talk to them about experience, they said, oh, don't tell us about experience, that's just a feeling. So, that's the way so very sad for them, but one day, what will happen?
They will realize.
One day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. That
Jesus Christ is
Lord, and not Muhammad, yeah, as they say, Jesus Christ is Lord. So then, I am the living. So he admits I was dead, and then he came out victorious. That is the power. Nobody can kill us. Yeah, even some pressures may come, maul us for some time, but our living God will bring us up. That is the power of the Lord. When we trust in Him, because He has done that, because He has gone through that. And then we have the last one. I have the keys of death and Hades. Everywhere in these Psalms, if you read these Psalms, it is always mentioned of the gates of Hades. Yeah? Gates of Hades is always mentioned in these, and these are the that is what Jesus said. I have the keys of death and Hades. When He died, and He went 3 days, He was missing, right? He went down to Hades, where all the dead were there, pulled the keys from the evil one, and came out victorious. And today, He has the keys, not the devil. He has the keys, so nobody can tell. And going beyond this part today. We cannot die. If we are in the Lord, I'm not talking about physical death. We need a physical death to be with them. But today we are talking about this, that, misery, this, that, all that. That is death, right? Spiritual death at this moment. If we know who Jesus is, who holds the keys, this is more than that. He said, why? Why should we die? When Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life in its abundance. Right? So He has the keys of death, and the faster we understand this meaning, the pressures of life will not dominate us, because we know who holds the keys. The devil will just come like a roaring lion, but the one who holds the keys is Jesus our Lord, and He's always there. He's always there. Okay, so with this we come to the end of the titles of the Lord. Okay, what the Lord is called. Now we go to chapter 1, Revelation 1:20. Somebody can read. 1:20.
As for the mystery of the given of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
That's right. Now we are coming to we are getting closer and closer to what the Revelation is all about. I found some pictures here. The lampstand are these seven lampstands. Here is another one here, and Jesus is in the midst of them. Yeah, seven stars. He has the seven stars in His hands. I mean, this is the maximum size I can have. So please, if you can see it, fine. Otherwise, I'm not sure. There's not a height.
Come closer, 3 chairs.
Okay. Okay, for those who want to see. Yeah. So. This is just, if you, Revelation is a difficult topic, you know that. That's why I have to get this. So we have an idea what's happening. Behind this, there are a lot of things that will happen. So who, why, what, it is all, explainable more better when we see it. Okay? So, here is the secret meaning of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand. In Greek, that secret is called mysterion. Okay, it's a word which means mysterious, mysterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N is the Greek word for this secret. But this secret is not something like, how we term it as secret, but we don't know anything about it, we don't know what it is. No, it is a secret that those who do not want to know about it knows nothing. But those who want to know about it, it is revealed. It is that type of secret. Mysterion is that. It is a mystery in a sense, it is a mystery, but if you want to know it, God gives you the clue. God shows you. And if you don't want to know it, fine. He's not bothered. Yeah. So that is the word which is used, and that is why it is called a secret, the meaning of the seven stars and the seven lampstands. Now, seven stars are the angels. The seven angels, he said, the seven stars which you saw in my right hand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven pillars are the churches, and the seven stars are the angels. In the past, there were debates among scholars. Some said that these may be the angels, maybe messengers of the churches who got joined together and come to for a revelation from the God, which the Greek word also would agree to it, but. The word that John uses for these angels is purely angels, So there is no human distinction. That is why that part is moved off. So it's not messengers. Second group of people who are studying, they thought perhaps it could be bishops of the churches. because bishops are in charge of the churches, no? So it could be the bishop of the churches, and hence they were called and given a distinction. But again, once again, bishops are human beings, and so that also has been ruled out. The third thing is what we guess it is there is a guardian angel for everyone and for all nations. Yeah, it is in some book. For example, that's interesting actually. There is a guardian angel for all churches, and for human beings. Now, Michael, Saint Michael is, for instance, is said to be the guardian angel of Israel, and you get this in Daniel 12:1. Okay, that Saint Michael, the archangel, is a guardian angel for Israel. Then, when Peter was in prison, and suddenly he was mysteriously released, and he came to the door. That his maidservant Rhoda, okay, she saw him and she said, and she came running out even without opening the door, saying that Peter has come. Then what do the people say? That he must be not Peter, it's the angel of Peter.
Yeah, it
is the angel of Peter, she said. So they believe in, we don't believe much in angels, which we should actually, but this thing of angels have come from here, from that time onwards. And that is why they say that these are the seven true angels who belong to the churches, at that churches. Now, the angels are a part and parcel of, when you say an angel, it means the entire church. Yeah, it means the entire church, because what the angel doesn't operate on its own, no? It's the church which operates. And Jesus is writing a letter to the churches, to the people whom the angel is in charge of. Okay, so that's what it is. So the seven angels are and who, see, the seven angels are in his hand. The seven angels are in his hand, and with that means all the churches, all the people, we are all in his hands. Now remember one thing, that revelation is not for what has happened or not what will happen, but revelation is meant even for us today. We are the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are in what? Safe hands. Whatever we are in safe hands. Okay, that's such a joy to understand. Yeah, sometimes we complain, no? Like, you know, what have I have got nothing, nobody is there for me. No, you are, there is a hymn, no, I am nobody's child. That's a wrong hymn actually. We are God's child. Okay, we are God. That song was sung by somebody who was, you know, who must have, his mother or her father must have left her, so and she must be an orphan, so she sang that. That's not a problem. But we know that we have got something good. Okay.
Brother, actually, somewhere in Babylon it is written the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees believed in resurrection. Okay, but the scribes do not believe in resurrection.
Yeah.
The scribes do not believe in angels. So when you talk about this statement, okay, when Peter came back and Rhoda said, people said, you know, it might be this angel. So There's a clash coming. Yeah, these Jews, there are two sects.
Yeah.
The scribes and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believe in the angels, in resurrection and all those things.
Yeah.
And the scribes do not. So what do you say about
that? But Jesus himself sorted that problem out, no? They asked Jesus. And Jesus said, what the Pharisees said is correct. He in the same talk where you're talking about it, I don't remember this thing. Read the chapter. They are asking the question, and Jesus is answering them. And Jesus said that there are angels, there is resurrection. There is resurrection. Now, for example, that I think it was.
No. When Jesus quoted Moses, saying, when Moses said, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Jacob, I am the God of Isaac, that means he is the God of living, not of dead.
Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah, no, and I think that this topic was there when somebody asked him about that, you know, that lady who got married seven times. Am I right? It is related to that.
Yes.
And whose wife should be?
Resurrection. Resurrection.
There is no marrying. There is no marrying. There is no this thing. So they asked, it was that time that when he said that, because they were not believing resurrection. Yeah. So that is the time when Jesus told them that there is resurrection, but there will be no marriage. So automatically the scribes were quietened down.
So Because in that paragraph only he said ki, they will be like angels.
Yes. Yes, they will be like angels. Exactly. They will be like angels. So we are all this thing. So those who don't get married, please get married fast, okay? Do not get married in heaven. Okay.
And one more thing. Seven angels, which is written over here. Seven is a biblical word anyways.
Seven is
complete.
Complete, yeah.
Yeah. And if we say there are seven archangels, so can this be the seven? Because angels, there's a legion of angels.
Yes.
Okay. And it is given seven. So might be these seven which they are saying is about archangels.
But they would have said archangels, no, if it was because archangels have got a lot of work to do in heaven. They have to be continuously praising the Lord, yeah. They have to be around. They are given tasks in heaven for the archangels. But these might be the little middle class ones. Because otherwise they would have said archangels. That's what I'm saying.
Because seven churches only is.
Seven is in biblical terms, seven is a complete number. Completion is seven, and that is why we have got seven and they have got six. Six is incomplete. Who the Muslims? No, 666. So we ours is seven. Okay. So that is the thing.
They use a six as a complete number.
No, they use that. That is their demonic. No, it is God said. No, the we'll get it in this. The beast will have the number 666.
But are they Muslim? Use 666.
Yeah. Very much.
No.
Even 666, they use. Ask him. Ask them 666. What is the meaning for them? Even their cars. You see, many of the cars are 666. I've seen them.
Is it? Okay.
Just ask any Muslim. Like, what is 666 a significant number for you? Just ask them. Okay, it is.
But everybody, I mean, like mostly all these movies and all, they always put six as negative, right?
Yeah, it's a negative.
Generally, it is negative. Yeah. So they wouldn't. I mean, why would they?
No, but because negativity is, it comes from there. Their religion says 66 is good.
I didn't know that.
Their religion.
Generally, triple six is negativity. I know.
For us, it's a negativity, but for them, it is
not
because
only for generally also. Not even for Catholics or Christians. Even generally, it is termed as a negativity. But I didn't know about this, so
yeah,
I need to check.
Yeah. No, because I know one of my friends, also my colleagues, in fact, there, he's got a distinct 66 and he's very proud about it. And I said, like, stay away from that car. It could do anything. I don't park my car next to his. It might go reverse sometimes. Yeah, but we can find out more. It's very interesting topics, you know. And maybe I'll, in my prayer, ask the Lord to confirm more about his angels or the archangels, Sebastian. Yeah. We'll find out more. Okay, now we are okay. So then we come to the conclusion that these are the angels which are in charge of the seven. But they are not alone. They are the whole congregation. It's a church on the whole. Okay, they have come up with that decision. The scholars. Now we go to Revelation 2, 1 to 7.
The angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear evil men, but have tested those who call themselves apostles, but are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently, and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen. Repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
Yeah.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Okay. Now we come to the history of the churches. Okay. Now, this thing in red is the Roman Empire. Okay, you have the entire Roman Empire, which is spreading to Europe, Asia Minor, Syria, and Egypt down there. Okay, then this is the Persian Empire, South Asia. Then this is the Arabs, and so on and so forth. Okay, this is just a map of the Asia Minor, because this we are talking about is Asia Minor. It's not our continent Asia. This is that time story. Okay, then now here we get the seven churches. We start with Ephesus here, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Okay, look at the position of Ephesus. Now the first letter goes to Ephesus. Okay, Ephesus is here. Pergamum actually was the capital of that place at that time, but the important place was this Ephesus. Now I'll give you the facts, the history of that. What is the next slide? Yeah, this is the modern day. Okay, this is the modern day. Now Turkey. This is the modern day Turkey. And here was Ephesus. It's no longer called Ephesus now. It's here was Ephesus. Okay, this is the modern day Turkey. And this is where the Asia Minor belonged before. Okay, today it is called Turkey.
Where is Antioch?
Antioch is around there only somewhere. Well, does it show? Smyrna, Ephesus. See, Patmos is here. You see the Patmos, the island we are talking about, it is here. This thing. Rhodes, Antioch is not here, but it should be around here somewhere. In the next map, perhaps.
The service was there of Antioch, who was proclaiming Jesus was the Son of God and He is actually God. And he was saying to one of the kings over there, and the Jews were there in Turkey. Macedonia?
Macedonia, but yeah, they are all places this side. Because, you know, now see, this is Ephesus, this is a map of Ephesus. The Caistor River, is the one which is affecting Ephesus a lot. And this is such an important place, you know, if you see there, it is here, Ephesus is here. So all the roads coming from the north, east and south, all join here. That is why it was the natural harbor. And at that time, this Ephesus was the best place on earth, and making the best of money. Okay, I'll tell you all the reasons for it now. It was the greatest harbor, as it says here, and all the roads coming from the Caistor River. That Caistor River is not shown here. Oh, this is the one I think, but it is mentioned here, the Caistor River. You know, see this river, and. This place was called the marketplace of Asia or the light of Asia, okay? Ephesus. It is very strong. And in Revelation 18, 12 to 13, this marketplace has been mentioned, okay? Of Ephesus. Now the Ephesus was the gateway to Asia. Now whenever these governors or Roman proconsul came, he first stopped at Ephesus before going to Rome. Yeah, he first stopped at Ephesus because that was an important place, and then he proceeded to Rome. That was one thing. Now in Ephesus, they were the wealthiest and the greatest city in all of Asia, and it was also called the Vanity Fair of the old world. It's called the Vanity Fair of the ancient world. Now Ephesus had certain political distinctions. It was all, you know, Dubai is called a free city, Salalah also is free city, I don't know. But free city, it was a free city. So this thing comes from all the way from that time. Why is it called a free city? Because they were doing things for the government, for the governors and all that stuff. The bread and butter was coming from there, and hence they were given liberty to have a small, a free city is something that you self-govern. The interference of the center is not so much, because they are giving them the whatever their taxes, blah blah blah, and the free city does not have soldiers. There's no garrison there. Okay, it's completely free. They are safe. And once in a way, the governor comes there, visits the place, and there are special courts held there when matters that cannot be held. Sorted out by the locals, and the governor comes and he sorts those out in the courts there. So that is the privilege which these people had. It was called a free city. It was not only that governors should come there, but later on, when Christians were persecuted, the route to Rome for their persecution and that all that stuff was through Ephesus. Okay, they had to come to Ephesus. So there were a lot of martyrs who passed through Ephesus on the way to Rome and were killed there. So the Ephesus has got his risk for that as well. Then the famous games, I don't know what is the name of those games at that time, but the famous games that time was held in Ephesus. The name of the games I don't know, but it's a big game, like how maybe the Olympics or I don't know what that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now Ephesus, see this is the top view of Ephesus. Now Ephesus had this temple of Artemis, okay, and the King James Version calls this temple Diana, and Artemis is a goddess, an old goddess, and this is the temple that was raised or that was built for her at that time. Now this temple was one of the seven wonders of that time. This was one of the seven wonders of that time. How we have seven wonders now? This temple, one of the seven wonders of that time. It was 425 feet long and 220 feet wide. And it had 120 columns. And each column was 60 feet high. And 36 of these columns were gilded with gold. Okay, they have gold dressing. Now, normally when they have these colonnades, you know, like this, these columns are there, and only the center portion is covered. The others are open, you know. But this is covered fully. But normally the temples, and this center portion of this roof has got the cypress wood. It says, okay, cypress wood. So the center portion has got cypress wood. Now, the image of Artemis, you know, she is a very disgusting looking woman, it seems, black in nature, black in color, complexion, and she has many breasts, multi-breasted woman. So we don't know from which age she came and what she was, but she looked like this. Artemis. And she was very much revered, people were giving her a lot of revelations. Reverence. And if you want to read that, how precious it was, you read Acts 19. On Acts 19, it will show you how precious Artemis and her temple was to Ephesus. Now, besides this temple, in Ephesus, there were also temples raised for these emperors, Claudius and Nero. You find the temples of Claudius and Nero there, and also Hadrian and Severus. These four temples also are there at that time. So in Ephesus, pagan religion was to its peak. Only pagan religion was to its peak. Now another thing of Ephesus. Now the reason why all this is important is because you should know what Ephesus was. Okay, so we have seen that it was a free city. We have seen its position as a important harbor, natural harbor. Then we have seen that it has got this temple, Hermitus, and we have seen the temple, the deity of that temple. Now, Ephesus was very famous for its superstitions. Okay. They were famous for their letters, amulets, and all those, you know, what we call in the Hindi term is jadumantar, okay?
Yeah.
All these things. So people from all over the world used to go there, and what they were believing, and it used to happen as well, that the moment you do these things, you know, they were successful in their businesses. Those who were barren used to get children. You know, and all these things were very popular then. That is why people used to travel from all over the world to buy these things so that they will be, you know, get what they wanted. Even healing was taking place, it seems, and all this. So these are all these.
Even now, Turkey is famous for that. The evil eye.
Yeah, correct.
The evil eye which comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Because Turkey is modern day Turkey. You know, this has come down now. The same thing. It started here. Okay. So who are childless, they were getting child and all those people, like, you know, all that stuff was going on. That is why efficiency was one reason of being, many reasons of being famous. Now they say that there was a mixed population in Ephesus. One, the first one was the actual locals, who were very few. Then some came from Athens and settled down there. And some came from Greek. Three tribes are there from Greek. And so one is, of course, Jews. So we find a mixture of six tribes there in Ephesus. Now this temple area. What is the next slide? Yeah. This temple area was also famous for all notorious things. Like, they had given them, I said, no, it is a free place, and they had given them a right for asylum. The government had given them the right for asylum. So anybody who comes to that place cannot be touched by anybody. So people used to come, like, you know, do all sort of nonsense, come there and take, and be advocated. It was a safe haven for them. Now this temple had priestesses, lady priestesses, who are also, they are prostitutes, holy prostitutes they were called. So you see, every type of crime was held in that place, and in this temple vicinity, in this temple itself. Okay. Now there was a philosopher, and his name was Heraclitus. Okay, Heraclitus, and he was called the weeping philosopher. When people used to ask him, why are you always weeping? He says, when I see Ephesus, I just feel like weeping, because there is no future for Ephesus. It has gone to such an extent of evil that there is no other future. And although I have to live, I cry. Every time I cry, because Ephesus is doomed, is condemned. In such a place as Ephesus, the church comes up. You see, in such a condemned place, everything is so bad here, and up comes the church. First church, the first letter goes to the church in Ephesus. Okay, now you see our side of it. Have I written it down? Paul stayed here longer than anywhere else. Paul stayed in Ephesus longer than anywhere else in any other church. This is in Acts 20:31. Okay, then. It was with Ephesus that Timothy was connected, so that he is called its first bishop. Okay. First, now, besides all the negative parts we saw, that said, and now these are the positive parts which happened in Ephesus. Paul met Timothy there, and eventually, you know, the relation between Tom and between Timothy and Paul. You can read the letters of Timothy, you'll find what the relationship. He was a young person, and how Paul trained him and brought him up. And he became the first bishop of Ephesus. It's written in 1 Timothy 1:3. It is in Ephesus that, these words, Aquila, Priscilla, Apollos, they were all the good ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tent makers, they were all tent makers and dye makers and all that stuff. These are the ones in Ephesus that we find Aquila, Priscilla and Apollos. And the relevant this thing is down here. Okay.
They gave Paul shelter.
Yeah, Paul shelter and all that stuff. Then Paul was also, is that a first slide there? Yeah, Paul was most closest with the Ephesian elders than anyone else. And the Acts 17:38 tells that. More than any other churches, he was closest to the Ephesian church. See, when you know that, when you have built a church in a place like this, yes. you have got more love for that church, because you know what it was, and then you have made from a hell to a heaven in that place and this thing. Okay, and then what else is there? There's another legend saying that John brought Mother Mary to Ephesus, and she died. She died in Ephesus. Now this is the where she lived, you know. This is the now a chapel built there in Ephesus where she lived. The exterior view of the restored house now serving as a chapel. This is where Mother Mary was brought, and she lived after John.
Huh? assumption was done from Turkey.
Yeah. Because she died there, no? So that's why we believe, no, that she was assumed there. And then this is the interior of the house, inside the chapel. How it looks. And then there is a wall there. There is a wall at this house where all these are petitions put to Mama Mary. Everyone comes there, put their petitions there, and they are answered, including a lot of things. Yeah. This is till today, since they are. Yeah. It's called Mary Ammana, the wishing wall. Yeah. Mary Ammana, the wishing wall. Mary Ammana, is there any language it is saying something?
Mariamana.
That is what it is. And the best and worst thing of Ephesus is whatever it had, pomp and posh and everything, today it is ruins. Because that Kishon River, you know, all the silt and all the thing from the Kishon River was attacking it. Today, this Ephesus is about 6 miles off the, no longer a natural harbor. The ships even cannot go there. So you see, from a flourishing, well-developed place, what Ephesus became. It's now just ruins. It's a tourist spot there, people can see there, but it is completely here. So, what can you say, you know, among all these things? What can you gather today? Look at the Middle East at the moment, you know. From such a high, petrol race, this rate, that rate, it went on booming high. Today, what is happening? It's thank God for people like us who are still praying, and God is keeping it alive. But these people had nothing. They didn't want anything. So, pride and prosperity and all that without God comes down, finishes. It's just my presumption, okay, that if the Christian community were not in the Middle East, who knows what would happen to the Middle East long back. See, look at Dubai, what they have done. Built the best of things, encroached on sea. That's not their job to, that is the God's part of given to the sea. And they have done their palm beaches or whatever, this thing there. You think that is not going to serve to counterattack? It will come back. Nature obeys God more than we do obey, because God has given us a free will. God has not given the nature free will. So they are doing it, they are obeying that commands. And if we encroach there, one day, why are the tsunamis taking place? Why are the tornadoes taking place? Because we have heard, and we call it natural calamities. We man-made calamities it is. Yeah, because they are obeying everything. But we are going to their land. We have done this thing. And today what is happening? So you see, Dubai today, very bad state. And we don't know what will happen. Suddenly one day, I'm talking about even a natural calamity. Take an example, something happens in that area. Where is the palm gone? Where is this thing? Look at these ruins. Posh people, posh. Look at the temple before. Today nothing is there. Only I think one column stands of that temple still. That is why, you know, the message that we take today is, we are in God's hands. Let us be in God's hands. Let prestige, pride, money not affect our lives. We are lost. For some years you'll be a prosperous. One fine day what happens? Okay, just come down. Okay? So we'll go into the letters. We have finished time, right? Yeah. So we'll go into the letters. The depth. This is the history. The history finishes from here. Is it right? Yeah. And then this is the next part of it. So, I hope this was informative to you, you know, because it gives you an idea. It gives you an idea of how things are. So, you can relate to the things that come in future more. And I'll be doing this for all the churches, you know, and this thing. But otherwise, the lesson, the study is will not have any support. This is only for your history support, okay? Thank you. Yeah, you know, even I was quite... If any of you want these pictures, I'll give you a stick and I will give it to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Here we are, Lord, in your holy presence, thanking you for this time spent together with you, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for enlightening our minds, Lord, on things that have gone past, Lord. Only you, Lord, can teach us, and through your books and revelations, Lord God, what happened in the past and what will happen in the future as well, Lord God. Thank you for our lives at this moment, Lord. And may these lessons, Lord, may these things of the past open our eyes for today, Lord. That we may not sail in the same ship as they did, Lord God, but that we may amend our lives. Let the worldly things, Lord God, not affect us, Lord. But let us look at the God who holds us together in his hands. That is the important thing, Lord. It's not, even your word says, Lord God, do not be confined to the world. For the world and all its pleasures that are deteriorating, are finishing. But those who believe in God lives forever. Amen. That is the word which the Bible says. Amen. And Lord, how true it is. Today, Lord, as we move this from this place, give us that grace, Lord God, to reflect more on what you have said, Lord God. And to make amends, to make changes in our lives, looking at what the past people went through, Lord God. Once again, Lord, thank you for the privilege that you give us every Friday to visit the hospitals, Lord. Today too, Lord God, there will be patients waiting eagerly for this team to go, Lord. You send forth your word and healeth their diseases, Lord God. Today as this team as well goes, Lord God, let your word go with them, Lord God, so that they may give this word and that word heals diseases, Lord. We pray even for the most difficult cases, Lord, because nothing is difficult for you, my God. Your word is the powerful. You are the same yesterday, today and forever, Lord God. And Lord, as the rest of us go home, Lord God, bless our vehicles, Lord. Keep us under your mantle of blue and care always, Lord God, so that we may not venture into anything that is not of thy kingdom, Lord God. And thank you, Mama Mary, for always being with us, guiding us, blessing us, and showing us your old house today, Mama Mary. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord. To Jesus and Jesus alone be all the glory, as we children of God say.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We meet next Friday for our 99th session, okay? And after that will be our 100th one.